بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Thus far we have completed three of the imams of jurisprudence, the four schools of thought, the four fuqaha, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul alayh, Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh, and Imam Malik rahmatul alayh. Inshallah, we will start the discussion with regards to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh, his name was Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hanbal, but his link was made to his grandfather, and he is better known as Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. His laqab, his title that was given to him, was Abu Abdullah, but each one of us know him as Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh, his father and grandfather both were warriors of the Deen of Islam. Now that was that lineage, that blood group that transferred eventually into Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh. You will understand in his life that he was someone that was very steadfast on the deen of Allah. He had that blood of a warrior and a soldier of the deen of Islam. There was a test that he had been through in his life. We will discuss the test that he had been through inshaAllah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh originally was from Basra. His father later on had moved him towards Khurasan. He was born in Rabiul Awal, the month Rabiul Awal, in the year 164 AH. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul alayh passed away 150. Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh was born 150. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal 164 AH. So therefore Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh did meet with Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh on one of his travels, when he went to Makkah Mukarrama to perform Hajj. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh was tallish and he was brownish in complexion. Very often he used to wear an imamah. Very often he used to wear an imamah. Anyway, the topic that what was written under the seerah of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh, they say very often he used to wear an imamah. Sometimes he wore the qalan suwa only, which means that the fuqaha, the sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they always had a qalan suwa on, a topi for us. We know it as a topi or as a hat. But having the turban was sometimes. Unfortunately, nowadays, we don't see the topi sometimes. But there was no difference of opinion on the topi. Some people say, but it's not in the hadith. But the ahadith is very clear. Absolutely clear, as broad as daylight, as certain as rainfall. It was certain that Nabi Sam most of the time used to wear a turban. And the hadith Nabi Sam says, فَرْقُ مَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الْعَمَائِمْ عَلَى الْقَلَانِسِ. The difference between us and the mushrikeen is we wear our turban on top of the topi. Which means we don't wear a turban without a topi. So if Nabi Sam had a turban on and he left the house, which means that the turban was on top of a topi. Very seldom he would leave the house with the topi only, or with the hat only. Allah give us the understanding. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh only got married after 40. Only after the age of 40 he got married. So someone asked him why. He says, due to my being occupied, preoccupied, or being busy, my shughl, my occupation was the deen of Islam. So only after the age of 40 did he enter into a nikah. After 40. He was around 40 when he got married. And he was married to his first wife, who was known as Ummu Salih, for 30 years. The son, not Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, because he can hide facts. His son, Salih, and the other son, Abdullah, they say that for what we know, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, my father, never ever entered into a dispute with my mother. There was never upsets in the house. 30 years they were married, and yet there were not any upsets in it. So anyway, I was doing the survey, so because I came across it and I was amazed, so I mentioned it aloud in the house. So the first question is, but what was the secret? I said, yeah, I wish I could have asked him what was the secret. But he's passed on now. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh started learning the science of hadith at the age of 16. From the young age of 16, he was already in the science.
learning the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He did approximately 5 hajj he performed, and on one of his journeys, as we said, he met Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh. Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh himself says, when he came back to his hometown, so Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh said to his students, Imam Muzani rahmatul alayh, his outstanding student Imam Muzani, he tells him that I met a man, his name is Ahmad bin Hanbal. If he had to tell the people haddathana, it was 100% accepted and agreed upon. Meaning this is how accepted, authentic was the knowledge of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh, even in the eyes of Imam Shafi rahmatul alayh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh has authored the kitab of hadith. And the name of his kitab is Musnad al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, or Musnad Ahmad bin Hanbal. Generally it's quoted Musnad Ahmad. Now who are they referring to? Musnad Ahmad. The Musnad is the book, the collection of the ahadith of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh says, this kitab of mine that I have authored, Musnad Ahmad, is from a collection of 700,000 ahadith. 700,000. I collected, sifted out, hand-picked, and now this collection of mine, my magnum opus, has 30,000 ahadith of Nabi Sam, approximately. Some say 28,000, but approximately 30,000 ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet in today's time, a person wants to discuss ahadith and ask ourselves, how much do we know? Here Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is saying, he had a collection of 700,000 ahadith. 700,000. So therefore, that is why these are some of the reasons of the acceptance, the status in the field of hadith, that we bow down our heads in front of the scholars of hadith. They were not just scholars of jurisprudence. They were not just jurists. They were masters in the science of hadith, each one of them, as we have discussed in the previous weeks. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh had outstanding. Now what owed to this acceptance? They see sometimes in his dars. Now Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, amazingly, he only started teaching at the age of 40. So someone asked him, but why have you started so late in life? Why have you started so late in life? He says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. Kamal, completion, perfection of knowledge and spirituality is from the age of 40. Nabi Sam got his nubuwwat at 40. So that is where a person is peaking, or he's entering into this, into spirituality. He's becoming, you know, he's matured now, spiritually matured, 40 years old. Generally a person hits 40 and now that already strikes a chord now. Listen, prepare. You have to get ready. So at the age of 40, that's the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just accepted him for the deen of Allah. But what was it? It was total humility. He was humble in front of even his students. Even in front of his students. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, the man who teaches me one verse, I am his slave. He can do as he desires. I am his slave. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh, Qutaybah bin Sa'id narrates, he says that I came to Baghdad and I wanted to meet Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatul alayh. So we spoke for some time. I walked with him. And as we were walking, then Qutaybah bin Sa'id says, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal held my hands and he took me one side. And he tells me, oh Qutaybah, and I am the student. I learned from him. But he tells me, do me a favor, please sit down. So I sat one side. And then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, my ustad, is telling me, I got a page with me. So he took out the page and he tells his student, Qutaybah, can you read it out for me? Can you please read it out for me? He was quite old at that time. So the student takes it out and he reads out the hadith that was recorded in that page. Immediately Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal sits in the tashahud position and he sits in front of Qutaybah like a student in front of his ustad. And he sits humble. The student says, ya Imam, what are you doing? Oh Ustad, what are you doing? He says, I am respecting the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I am respecting my ustad who is reading it to me. He says, I'm not ustad. He says, this is what I have received via respect. Whatever I got was because of the respect I showed to my asatiza. Another of his students, Badani ibn Khalaf, Khalaf Rahmatul Ali, his student, one day, there was one hadith that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, despite him having a collection of 700,000 ahadith, one hadith did not pass his hands. But someone informed him that your student has that hadith, it's linked, authentic chain to my student, I want to learn that one hadith you have, I don't have. So he says, no problem, I'm prepared to teach you that hadith. So the student immediately prepares an area with a cushion, soft, comfortable, and he tells Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, sit on the top. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal grabbed his student by the hands, made him sit on the cushion, and said, you recite the hadith now. And he sat like a student in front of him. He says, oh Imam, why all of this? So he says, Hakada umirna. We have been commanded to honor every person who taught us. Out of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him. You know, there was a pious person of his time. So he writes in one of his books, a nice example he gives. He says that when the drops of rain were falling from the sky, then Allah ordered some of the raindrops to fall onto the ocean. So one of the raindrops looked at the ocean and said, oh Allah, such a mighty, vast, deep, large ocean, I am one small droplet of water, what worth am I in front of this ocean? So the moment this droplet of water became humble and said, I'm nothing in front of the ocean, Allah ordered the oyster come to the surface and collect a droplet. And the droplet fell onto that oyster, and later on it developed into a pearl. Why? Because of that one raindrop, being humble in front, and says, I am nothing compared to this ocean. So this is that example he gives, that when a person is humble, he collects a lot. This is one thing we need to instill into our youngsters, into our students, into our sons, into our nephews and grandsons and whoever. This is unfortunately the sad part of what we know about schools. I mean, each one of us know what's happening in the schools. Forget about the school. You know what respect you are earning from your own son. Can you imagine what's happening in the school? If you know what's happening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we win this battle at home and we are able to teach them adab and respect. Very important. That is why Mulla Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you can go to all the khankas of the world, but if you want to become insan banna ho, if you want to become insan, then come to my khanka. You know, become insan, which means I'll teach you etiquette, I'll teach you mannerism, I'll teach you how to do things, what to do, this time and for everything, how it needs to be done, etiquette of everything. Example came now, so we'll mention it. One day one person came to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So he came into the gathering, and now this is adab. It's something we have to learn. It's something you have to learn. It's not something that comes natural. Yes, many things you may naturally be polite and good and, you know, well-mannered or dignified and upright, but there are certain things you have to learn it. So this person comes into the gathering, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali is writing something out. He's doing some work, authoring some books. He authored over 1,000 books. So he was busy writing out some notes. And he stopped his work because of the visitor. So he said, Assalamu alaikum, mashallah, how are you? You came from that village, so far you came, mashallah. How's the family? How's everyone? So they spoke for a few minutes. He gave him time. Then when everything went a little bit silent and low, Mawlana asked him, you came for any work? Kisi kaam ke liye? You came for any work? Koi khas kaam? Any special work? He said, nahi, nahi. Koi nahi. I never come for anything. I just came for your duas, Hazrat. That's all. Your duas. He said, theek hai. No problem. He sat and he spoke with him for another 5 to 10 minutes. gave him advice, he made dua for him. Eventually, Maulana, because he was busy with his book, stood up to meet the person and say, Allah take you safely back home. And he came to sit in his place. As he sat down, Hazrat, maaf kijiye, ek darkhast the. Maaf, forgive me, I got one request. You see, bhai, what request? You see, I needed one taweez also. Hazrat told him, you go back home, you come some other time, I'm writing no taweez now. When you came, what did I ask you? I asked you, why did you come? You told me you came for dua and advice. I gave you the advice, I gave you the dua. Now after I have given you allocated time, now you tell me you want the taweez. That's against adab. I gave you time, I allocated time for you. That's against ethic. It's against adab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to learn. It's something, the moment, you know, when you are with people of adab, you learn it. When you around with people, you learn this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with it, inshallah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, the level of acceptance Allah granted him eventually, 5,000 students used to sit for his dars. 5,000 students. His practice on the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he came across the hadith with regards to cupping. The moment he came across it, immediately he puts the pen down. He writes and completes the hadith, he puts the pen down. He looks at the date was fine. He goes to the hajjam, to the person who does cupping, and he asks him to do cupping. So the people say, Ustad, what happened? So he says, to practice on the hadith, not tomorrow, today. And immediately he goes and does his cupping. Unfortunately, because we are not exposed, we don't know the importance of cupping, or we don't know the benefits of cupping. One athlete must win one of the races and show his cupping marks. Oh, beneficial, man. He won the race, you also? He won the race. Now the whole world is talking because of one person who won one of the races, or one of the athletics, one of the athletes who was, his marks we all exposed, what he did, so the whole world is talking. Yet this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, it has to be done on certain days by someone who's an expert, someone who's a master in the field. It's a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But we can take, there are certain dates, we'll just talk about that only. 17, 19, 21. 17, 19, 21. Obviously in between is okay, but the middle 13, 14 and 15, we should abstain. The end of the month and the beginning of the month also. Unless it is a sickness. One day a person came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, and he tells Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, that you know, there are some of these muhaddisin. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal started speaking good about these muhaddisin. That person said, those muhaddisin are not good people. I don't like them. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was so upset and red in the face. Immediately he declared, who was zindiqun, who was zindiqun, who was zindiq? Such a person is a renegade. If you don't like the person who has transmitted the ahadith of Nabi Sam to you, you are a renegade to the deen of Islam. I mean, cut out sahaba, what do we have? Cut out muhaddisin, what do we have? This is one of the cornerstones or the main ideologies of the deviated groups. To cut you out from sahaba, you don't have Quran with you. Cut you off from the muhaddisin, there's no ahadith for you. Cut you out from any scholar of hadith, you are taking out a great chunk of the deen of Islam. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, we were speaking about that one fitna that he had been caught up in his era. Eventually, when the leader of the time became Ma'mun, Khalifa Ma'mun. Khalifa Ma'mun was overtaken by one of a deviated group that was known as the Mu'tazila. There's many incorrect things about the Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila is a group that don't believe in the qualities of Allah. They don't believe in the Arsh of Allah. They don't believe in Shafa'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't believe in Waznul A'mal. They don't believe that the deeds will be weighed. Because they used to rationale and ask the question, how can your deeds be weighed when it's not tangible? It's not tangible. It's not something that we can weigh. So in those days, because there wasn't anything, there was no instrument to measure anything that was non-tangible, so they disbelieved in it. When in today's time, the wind is measured, it's not tangible. The pressure, the temperature, These are not tangible things, but they are measured. So on the day of Qiyamah, our amal will be measured whether we understand or not, it will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. So we believe in it. So they believed in many things they never used to believe in. And one of the doctrines or incorrect belief of the Mu'tazila, the deviated group, was that Quran is the creation of Allah, na'udhu billah. Our belief, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that Quran is Kalamullah. It's not creation. It's the speech of Allah. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they influenced the Khalifa of the time, Khalifa Ma'mun. When they influenced him, they gave it some time, few years down the line, they asked him to please force Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal to accept this aqidah. Because people are flocking to him and taking aqidah from him. Change this aqidah of the country. So the Khalifa Ma'mun was taken away into the wrong direction. He issued the statement. He forced everyone. Most of the people accepted it. Eventually they come to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He says, I will not give in to this. I believe Quran is the speech of Allah. Khalifa Ma'mun summons him. He says, bring him to my court. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal makes dua. He says, oh my Allah, I am never going to give in to it. Whether they threaten me with my life, with my family, whatever it is, I believe Quran is your speech, I'm not going to give in. So as he's taken, he's making dua to Allah. He's making dua. He's chained up, he's in shackles, he's in chains, and he's taken into a dark room. He finds in the darkness of the night, dark room also, he's all in chains. He feels a small container, it has water. He makes wudu. As he's chained up, he's making wudu. He makes wudu and he performs salah and he makes dua. Suddenly someone opens up the door, Fajr time, and see, he's dead. You see, who's dead? You see, the Khalifa is dead. So okay, that's the first step. Now what next? Eventually, it was some time, they freed him. But the next Khalifa that came, Khalifa Mu'tasim, when he came into office and he became the Khalifa, he summoned for Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, called him with his associate and his friend, another sheikh of the time, and he asked them to abandon their belief that Quran is the speech of Allah, it's a creation of Allah. They never give in. So one of them, as he was being taken, he passed away. On en route to the Khalifa, he passed away. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when he came, then the Khalifa of the time asked two people to stand with whoops. Give one shot each. So he says, no. Say, give two shots each. He said, no. I'll never ever give up my belief. I'll die for Quran. Quran is the speech of Allah. And eventually he says, listen, you'll do what you'll need to do with him now. And they hit him to such an extent that he fell down unconscious. They poked him with the sword through his hand. He felt nothing. He was unconscious. When he gained consciousness, again they were flogging him. They hit him. He was imprisoned for 28 months. And he was hit and lashed for 28 months. He was frail. He was skin on bone. He had nothing to even stand up on. Weak, absolutely weak. Khalifa, you know what? He thought to himself, the more we suppressing, the more famous he's getting. People are talking about him more. They all want to know, why is he prepared to die for it? It has to be the truth. And that is the deen of Islam. That the more they want to suppress the deen, the more Allah is giving it acceptance in the four corners of the world. So eventually Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was released after 28 months. Khalifa of the time, Mu'tasim, passes away. Wafiq becomes the Khalifa. What does he do? He says, listen, if we hit him, he's getting more famous. What we rather do is put him under house arrest. He's not allowed to interact with the people. No problem. For 5 years, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal now got sick. People ask him, why are you not in prison? The doctor can come to the house. Now are you sick? He says, I can't teach the people the correct religion anymore. I'm under house arrest. I have to stay at home. I can't come out. So he's getting sick because he can't teach the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Eventually, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal died because of his wounds, because of the hiding he had received for the Quran. for the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, they say normally he used to recite and perform 300 rakats nafal salah. When he was young, 300 rakats nafal. His son said, when he came out of prison, he was in his 70s, when he came out of prison, and he was slashed till he became unconscious. When he came home after that lashing, he used to perform 150 nafal rakats the whole day. 150. Meaning he had to cut down a little bit, 150. Now we can do some maths for ourselves, even if it is 2 minutes for 2 rakats, even if, you know, a quick one, 2 rakats quickly for 2 minutes. Now 150 rakats, 150 minutes for the deen of, only in salah, 150 minutes only in salah, 150 minutes. That's the bare minimum. And that too in his old age. And he used to read, he used to finish the Quran in 7 days. You know, in the Quran at the bottom you see manzil. And there's 7 manzils. Which means 1 manzil a day he used to recite. Despite him teaching, despite all his other occupation, earning a livelihood and everything that comes with it, 300 rakats, okay, at his older age, 150, and 1 manzil of the Quran, which is approximately 5 to 6 paras, he used to read about 6 paras, 5 to 6 paras every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to take the lesson that he did not give in the pressure for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ready to even give his life for the Quran, for the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we can do is make dua for him tonight. Because of his efforts, alhamdulillah, this is that aqeedah that is still preserved within the Muslim ummah, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the mainstream followers, that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us love for Quran. Allah grant us the ability to recite Quran, to understand Quran, to practice and to disseminate the message of Quran. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى.